We weren't here Monday.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion that we bring back the scientific research activity motion onto the table.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Preble. All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Okay, so my opinion on this is that we could send this motion, we could write a letter, as this motion states, recommending the solution or a solution. I would suggest that we do write a letter to NOAA and highlight this item or this issue as a deep concern of the council's for potential abuse moving forward. And you can recommend or suggest within the letter that perhaps one way to deal with it is a letter of acknowledgement. But in having conversations with Gene and others, there may be another way that we're not aware of at the moment to get at the same intent of the motion. So I guess what we could do is I could amend the motion to say recommend the council send a letter to NOAA expressing our deep concern over a lack of control or accountability for research, what is termed research, for research activities in the EEZ. And within the letter, we would include perhaps the letter of acknowledgement is one way to address it, but there may be others. And hopefully, and also in the letter say that, please get back to us ASAP on this issue if there's any action we need to take. David.
I think that's a good idea. A letter of acknowledgement, maybe one way or a possible solution or one of several solutions. I think, there's other solutions.
Yeah.
We can't identify them all. I just think that's one possible solution. And I think that's a good idea. Let's see here, Council.
Recommending and requiring the letter of acknowledgement.
So after recommending, Joan? After the word recommending and the perfected, after recommending, put requiring a letter of acknowledgement. Okay. Is there any objection to that? We'll call it a perfection. David, are you okay with that?
I'm just waiting for it to finish typing, but I think so.
I would just add as one possible solution or something like that after acknowledgement.
Okay. Is there any objection to that perfection? Paul Howard?
Gene, how would a requirement for a letter of acknowledgement be put into practice? How would it be implemented?
Right now, the regulation on scientific research states explicitly that a letter of acknowledgement isn't required. So it would be changing. I'm not saying that they'll agree or it's possible, but it would be changing that requirement or perhaps some other less direct way that would achieve the same results.
Is that a Magnuson Act regulation?
It is a Magnuson Act regulation, but it's one that the agency does under its 305D authority, which is sort of our general regulatory making authority to make sure that FMPs are effective and so forth. So we can do it unilaterally.
Anything further? Doug.
Two things out. In the there's just a little typo there when you said requiring a, and then we got to get rid of the letter. Requiring, it's either got to either be a requiring a letter. Yeah. You see. So you want to delete the
Take the out.
The.
Delete the. Delete the.
Thank you. And then obviously inherent in this would be the reasons that we're concerned, such as the potential for non-accountability of landings in there that you would be including in that, I assume.
Right, and all that came out in the discussion on Tuesday. So that would be the basis of the explanation. Anything further? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, just a clarification. Now I'm a bit confused. I thought that with the letter of acknowledgement, a research enterprise, a research activity involving a commercial vessel is exempt from Magnuson. So I'm missing something here, because if that's the case, then the motion doesn't read quite right. So
all the letters I've ever had exempt you from specific sections, and they also have a list of requirements. For example, you can't go in a permanently closed area it has both what you're exempt from and then any additional requirements that you are subject to. So it gets at this issue of unfettered research, if you will. That, you know, you'll be allowed to do your research, but here are the places you can do it, and here are the rule, the sections of Magnuson or the regulatory text that you're exempt from.
Yeah, I think a letter of acknowledgement, basically what it means is that the service has reviewed the scientific study or work plan and thinks that it's legitimate science. But it doesn't, my understanding is it doesn't exempt nor require anything. It's just a letter of acknowledgement that this activity being conducted in the EEZ is legitimate. Whereas a letter of authorization is more like, I think, what you were talking about, Dave, which is here are the specific exemptions, and here are the specific requirements of this activity.
Yeah, I've had both, and they both come with stipulations.
Not the letter of acknowledgement. It doesn't have, well, it's not supposed to have stipulations because it's not required in the first place. Now, they can be requests to do things, but not mandates.
Okay, I may have missed the difference between request and require, but I know there's you know, a list of what you're doing, where you're doing it, and that type of thing.
So we typically say, you know, this is the activity you've told us you're doing.
Right.
And if you do anything outside that, then it, you know, then it's we can't acknowledge that's scientific research. So,
Pod.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I almost think by putting in a solution that really isn't going to work for us is not a good thing. Just having a letter of acknowledgement will allow the research to continue, only we know what's going on. But we don't want it to continue. In other words, as more and more fishermen decide to do research and use catch to fund their research activities to supplement their fishing activities, all the other fishermen that aren't doing research are going to suffer as the tack goes down. So we want to control research. We want to set a research TAC, and we want these people to come into that TAC to compete for it. That's the solution. This is not a solution, and I'm fearful that we're sending a letter with a solution that doesn't work. So I would omit that, and let me write a letter that says, we could have a potential problem here with a loophole, and we've now got ACLs that might, and there's research going on that is detrimental to the livelihood of fishing and fishermen in their communities. It's unregulated. That solution doesn't work for us.
I actually think I agree with you, Paul. I think we should strike the solution side of it and just write a letter about our concerns.
Right, that's all.
And what we want, what we think a resolution would look like, but not identify the tool.
I can work something out.
Is there objection to striking the last sentence in the perfected motion? No. After all that, Joan, we're going to strike it. Some things never change. Okay, ready for the question?
Every 10 minutes, we'll put it back in.
All those in favor, raise your hand. Yeah. 13, opposed, abstentions, one abstention. Okay. That's all I had on the specific agenda item, so that would bring us to other business. Any other business? Sally?
Chris Kellogg, I think, was going to just go through some information on the wind energy, status of wind energy stuff with Bomer.
Chris?
Let me just give a little introductory on this, if I could, Mr. Chairman. You know, we requested that Bomer come to every council meeting and update us on what's going on. So there's been a recent meeting that they've made smaller the RFI down off Nantucket, and both Sally and Chris had attended the meeting that they announced that, and they couldn't make it to this meeting, as I said. So if you could briefly go through the area there, Chris, that would be great.
Okay, for starters, there is a letter that was written addressed to Paul from Maureen Bornholt, who we had requested attend this meeting, but she had some conflicts, and so did the rest of her staff. And this pretty well summarizes the meetings that have been held, the two joint task force meetings recently. The letter goes back to the May 2nd meeting. There was another one on June 7th, and then there was a conference call on June 3rd. What I've got here is, and the two presentations that pretty much summarize what was discussed at the meetings have been passed out. They look like these two documents. What I can do is just briefly go through a couple of the maps that describe the common area, or the request for information area, request for interest area, excuse me. It's all new to me. And some of the changes or responses. So this is go to the, I don't know if this is working. Okay. This map is from the June 7th presentation, and it was the meeting with the Massachusetts Renewable Energy Task Force. This was the original request for interest area. I think you've all seen this, and this was discussed at the last council meeting. Shortly after the council meeting, in response to comments from various groups, mostly fishing groups. Can you get this next slide, John? The shaded area on the right was eliminated from the what they call the call area. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see. The result of that was a smaller call area that became the area of discussion. Next slide. In this slide, the green areas are the areas that had been nominated by developers during the comment period. We'll go to the next one. And I've just got to catch up here on my notes. So we're going to, excuse me. This map basically shows the level of interest according to the intensity of color, with the deep reds being the areas in which entities express the most interest, and the light grays the areas with the least interest. Now, this was in response to the initial request for information, so it shows the whole call area. Let's go to the next one. And this is simply, and you probably would have to look at this in the handout to get the names of the entities that were interested in the different areas. And this just shows a depiction of the specific areas that the specific entities expressed interest in. And that was basically what was presented at that meeting. In terms of process, the next step would be, I think they're going to come back with, it's explained in the Bornholm memo, that there's going to be a comment period, So the primary purpose of the meeting was to go over comments received on the RFI that BOMER issued in December. They received 248 comments. 9% were related to fishing concerns. And I'm not sure. They're still in the process of developing the EIS documents. I'm not sure, and I'll have to check whether there's an additional way to comment before they develop the EIS documents. But I think comments could be sent in. Let's move along. This was a presentation that was given at an earlier teleconference on June 3rd. I wasn't party to that teleconference, so I'm just going to give you what I know from my notes. This shows the RFI area the off of south of Rhode Island. It's a different area. The green part is actually an overlap with the Massachusetts area. Let's go. The red dots. I'm not sure which one you've got. Go back up one. Yeah. Okay, that's the first one. The deep red was eliminated through Coast Guard comments because they needed a 1 mile
buffer
for separation zones. You can go to the next one, John. And also the next slide. Was also just shows the U.S. Coast Guard comments on the draft call area with areas of greatest concern removed. So let's go to the next one. The next one depicts the areas identified as important to fishing within the call area based on comments. So those are the areas with blue lines, so basically cover all of the call area. Then the red-striped areas were the areas that were requested to be removed from consideration by fishing interests. That's on that one. Yeah. Okay. The next map depicts the areas that would be to be added for consideration by some of the entities interested in development. Those were in green. And I think that's about it. Let's go to the next slide. And then the rest of the maps that are in the presentation are simply overlays of previous maps. So that's probably doesn't give you a lot of background information, but maybe it gives you a kind of a visual representation of what's going on, what's been going on. And if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Does anybody have any questions? Paul Howard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to stress that, you know, we provide comments. That's all we can do under our authority and under NIMS authority is provide comments on this action. And this is a singular federal agency operating outside of the national ocean policy, so to speak, which requires or recommends people all get to the table to work out this siting beforehand. But this is going to continue as the Department of Energy has task forces in Mass, Rhode Island, and in Maine. So we have to pay close attention to providing input ahead of time. But once they take our input and say, okay, and they did take our input, we commented on this, they made it smaller. But then after that, we really only can comment if there's another comment period. We have no jurisdiction. We're not at the table. It's a very interesting that we may want to do more to protect fishing, like Coast Guard can set a buffer from traffic schemes. Wouldn't it be nice to identify a very prominent fishing ground and say we don't want anything within 10 miles of that? But we have no authority. We can't establish an HAPC that restricts shipping or wind development. We can't set a HAPC, an MPA, or any of those things. We can just comment. So that's why it's very important that we're at the table in the new system of negotiating trade-offs with siting and fishing and Coast Guard and all that.
John, just two quick things. In terms of the Massachusetts and Rhode Island call area, the next step in the planning process is the publication of the call in the Federal Register for public comment for this fall. In terms of the Massachusetts area, the next step in the planning process is for Massachusetts to publish another notice to solicit comments and information on the remaining RFI area. So there are going to be two opportunities for comments probably before they develop an EIS.
Dr. Pierce and then Dave Preble.
Yeah, a question for Pat. Pat, has the service, or for Frank for that matter, has the service, where's he gone? Okay. Has the service provided to your federal counterparts similar charts that would describe the distribution of the fisheries resources, not the fleet, but the resources themselves? So they have that information to use, because I know that question has come up within my state. It hasn't been provided, and they really haven't been able to answer. So,
yes, we provided some information attached to our comment letter, which I think was in the binder the last council meeting. I'm not sure. Was it in the binder the last council meeting? So if you have that, you may be able to pull it out of there. But it's not on a real fine scale. And what we've suggested to them is that data is available, and before they go forward, they need to make sure that they come to us and get the information they need to make these decisions.
So the data are available, but they have to request it from you before they can get it. You're not in a position to... So no one's made that request for that fine-scaled information to help them make these important decisions?
Well, they don't have specific proposals yet, and so they're not doing the analyses associated with those specific proposals yet.
The comment letter, I think, from the council and maybe from the service showed a bunch of little maps that were shaded for fishing activity, dollars out of the area, pounds, so on and so forth. The next phase, as you know, David, is the specific proposals and the citing of those proposals, and that's when the actual data sets that we have through the Science Center and the regional office will be very valuable. So... I think the first round of comment was to identify or to exhibit that we had that level of information. David?
Yeah, that the one reason why I asked the question is that at a workshop that was held in New Bedford a couple of weeks ago, we had representatives of the wind industry and the fishing industry present at the table, and of course, as you might expect, some of the comments from the fishing industry present were along the lines of, well, you know, why didn't you get the data beforehand and then remove blocks right away from consideration, as opposed to, this is what you want, now pick a few, and then we'll tell you after the fact if it's okay or not. So,
perhaps if we were the ones running the process, we would have taken it from that perspective, but we're not. Pat?
Yeah, and that's actually been our comment to them as well. So they did not get it up beforehand. We provided it after they issued the statement of interest or the I forget what it's called. They're RFI.
Dave Preble?
Yeah, just a quick comment. I'm just looking at that map up there right now, and if they take that area, they will pretty much take out Rhode Island's day boat commercial fishery.
Sally?
So this is why we need to keep this discussion going, because that map there, the middle was suggested by fishermen on Martha's Vineyard to be removed. And the green horizontal lines were suggested by Martha's Vineyard fishermen to be added. So if you, you know, if I'm just reading from this handout. So that middle area was suggested by, you know, a small group of fishermen from Massachusetts that it should be taken off the table. So there's that. But the other thing is, this process is not just driven by the Interior Department, it's driven by the states too. Chris was pulling these things from joint task force meetings. They're joint between the Department of the Interior and the state that is adjacent to the federal waters where there's the area of interest. So in this case, we have Rhode Island and Massachusetts to rely on to work internally to the states on this issue. We have talked in the past about the value of the essential fish habitat amendment, not yet complete, but the new designations are all but complete, but they're not in the regulation. Now, Interior Department says that they will take that and would take that information under consideration, even if it's not written into regulation. But obviously, if it's in the regulation, it has a lot more standing than it does if it's something that's still in its forever holding pattern that it's been in. So that's something that's also worth considering. Chris, I'm very thankful for Chris for having stepped through this and put this up. But I think it just shows that we really need to have a good understanding about what is proposed, because that map, you know, it looks like it's a huge area that's proposed for potential wind energy development, but that's not what that map says. So I hope that September, I know Maureen was down at the meeting where I was this week, and just couldn't be two places at one time. So I hope they'll be here in September. Thanks.
Anyone else in the council? Okay, Chris, thanks for putting that up for us. Anything else under other business? All right, we're done.